Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I am here to encourage you along with the one.
Good morning!
Don Ramos!
The one.
I was not going to talk about the beer or the lack of the hair. The beer. I'm not talking about that either.
I told you to put that down.
I'm telling you what. And also joining us this morning is Pat Hamilton, the producer.
Good morning.
Be encouraged. Yes, our president is speaking at the United Nations, but understand this, that our God still sits on his throne. Woo! Give a shout out this morning to Debbie. What an encouraging word I read in the Dew last night. Thank you so much for your kind words. Sophia, oh my goodness, my heart melted when you told us about Jennifer and Christian. Jennifer and Christian, if you're listening this morning, we love you, praying for you. Give a shout out this morning to Steve in Kalaszewski. Good morning, Dennis. Hearing wonderful, wonderful reports how God is blessing you, and we're praying for you, man, and your folks. Good morning, Zachary. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Nicole in Virginia. Well, welcome our new listeners in the virtual audience of VFN Radio. Deborah, Austin, Nancy, Cheryl, Lewis, Julius, welcome to the VFN Virtual Stadium. Truman and Gary, Lucinda. Welcome. You are listening to VFN Radio's first hour. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you this morning is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Well, here we are. Oh, my goodness. It is time. Tuesday morning. Time is, isn't it amazing how, you know, it was just January 1st, 5 seconds ago.
I know.
Wasn't it?
You know, and you're trying to grab a hold of time. Listen, if you have not yet, you've got to get with the value-based vision management, because you got to take time and you got to force it to be in compliance with you, because in compliance with your destiny. You know, it's amazing how, and it does. You know, you hear people talk about it, but when you're, it moves slow when you're if you're serving time in prison. You know, we know if you're listening to us this morning, we're glad to have you as part of our audience. And we hope to encourage you. And obviously, we're not saying that in that predicament that time is moving fast. But when you know, if you're stuck somewhere, you know, as a kid, remember looking at it as a kid, you would look at the clock, you know, back when they had hands on the clock, and you had to know what that meant.
Yeah.
And you'd look at the last 15 minutes of class. You could just hear the second hand go. It just kind of works. It's like, what's happened to that hand? It's moving so slow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that clock? I never heard a clock.
You could hear it, man. When it was time to go. I mean, unlike I was not a 4.0. I was like a Hope 0.0.
Hope.
You know, you know, trying to work my way. You know, as Travis Krim says, you know, some people graduated cum laude. He says, I graduated, thank the Lord God Almighty. Magna cum laude, I think the Lord, I graduated, Lord God Almighty. Oh, you know, I was so focused on work. I just wanted to work. Now, I just don't want to. It won't stop. You know, I think about Ezekiel when the Lord said, you know, I set your face like a flint, and I've established you. You know, and when you begin to look at your life, and you think, man, the only thing that this could be happening in our lives mm-hmm. is that God predetermined these things for you and mm-hmm. for us and for what we're doing, and because who else would be at 3 o'clock in the morning counseling somebody with a cell All phone right. on their ear and shoving a prophetic sign in the grounds about the next step, you know, out by Father and Son camping trips. And mm-hmm. And it was really interesting, because actually I was on the phone. Here I'm trying to think about the dichotomy of this. You know, I'm not going to give any names, but I was talking to John on the phone.
Thank you.
This was years ago last week. No, this wasn't John. We were, you know, covering a city, you know, with what God had called us to do, and it was driven for a prophetic word, and the prophetic word is Malachi. You know, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that he would send Elijah, and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. Well, I mean, it is everything comes against you when you're moving prophetically, because you're coming against the antithesis of that word. Mm-hmm. When God starts to launch a word and to reestablish or establish, you're coming against the establishment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're coming against people that says, God is not concerned about it anymore. You know, that God doesn't care about the fatherless. You know, God doesn't care about the absence of my father in my life, and or the fact I'm there but I'm not there type thing.
Right.
And you're coming out saying, no, it's important. And so here we are. You know, we're up, you know, saturating the city, you know, during the early morning hours, and we wanted to be able just to kind of pop the next day when they came up, and they would you drive through the city. So we're putting 1,000 signs around mm-hmm. the city, and then it has, you know, you know, Malachi on it. And one side it said, Dad, please take me, yeah. you know. And the other side it said, Sir, please take me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And because nobody would ask. We had to ask on behalf of the kid, because most people say, you know, I'm so busy, I can't get to. And it was just powerful. God was using that to speak, you know. And part of the, you know, the campaign to fill in the virtual stadium, you'll hear more about it through VFN Radio, that is going to the next level for the whole nation now. But with that, I'm sitting here talking on the phone to somebody who just got married. They just got married, I don't know, maybe 24 hours ago. It was actually approximately almost hitting 48 hours.
Right.
And so I have, you know, this is the cell phone. It wasn't the brick, but it was a little bit.
Pretty close to the brick.
Pretty close to the brick. And
cement block.
Yeah, and every yard sign does not go in the ground well. You know, we determined in that city we were doing it, and that we understood that soil is different everywhere you go in the city.
Oh, yes.
That's not dirt. That's concrete.
Yeah, right.
Looks like dirt, but ain't dirt.
And so we're driving this word home, you know, crying out for the fatherless. And of course, if we're going against the mindsets in the establishment, they just call you, they think you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the boys didn't think we were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They were pumped. Mm-hmm. They called cabs to come see us.
Yeah.
And the men were, a lot of the men were angry with us, because we brought the ideas like, did you ever think about spending time with your son?
Mm-hmm.
Or we exposed the reality is that even a man wasn't willing to take a fatherless boy in the wilderness. I mean, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But then the ones that did, we found that out as well, that, there was men, the men that stood there boldly today, that I'm so proud of these men, especially what, you know, Satan does, you mm-hmm. know, that it's the enemy is so against any form of attention that a man's going to pay any mm-hmm. child anywhere, mm-hmm. including mm-hmm. his own. Anyway, so I'm on the phone. Now, you got to understand this. You know, we didn't just get here. I'm on the phone with this particular person who's been married now for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I talked to this person before they got married, you know, and listen, if you want to make sure you got a good foundation for your marriage, first of all, don't marry a Christian.
Mm.
Marry a godly person.
That's
mm.
right.
I got good news for you. This will help you out. Oh, I'm a Christian. Right. You just showed up at this gathering because you're wanting to snag me as your spouse. Mm-hmm. No, I want to see your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you walk with God? Do you hear God? Do you obey God? Do you abide with God? And so these two Christians married. And I'm saying, listen, you know, go through some time of, you know, they call it counseling, but it's really not counseling. It's like, you know, what I'd like to do at that time, and I don't do it anymore, but I help other people do it. And is you want to find the stress points in a conversation with a couple and help them learn how to work through difficult circumstances and realize you can't teach people how to be married, but you can teach them how to abide with God and how to handle the tough things that come up. And if you can communicate, communion, part of healing me is hearing me. So anyway, that, you know, that's some of the things that I taught and teach others to do now. And a lot of people just avoid it. And then you just sit back and enjoy their life watching afterwards. Like, oh, so he says, you know, I'm sitting there just pleading with him because, you know, I love them. And I didn't want him to go through the pain. There's going to be pain, no matter what you think. If you do not, I mean, first of all, relationships, period, with anybody, you know, if you love them enough, it's only the loving relationships that cause you pain. It's not the ones you don't love. I mean, come on. Right. And so, and hopefully, you know, who does God love? We should love everybody, right?
That's right.
That's right.
So everybody's a pain. can cause pain, I mean.
Right.
And so, you know, in that, you know, I'm telling them, I'm leaning over this table, I'll never forget, and I'm saying, I know right now you're thinking that you're going to get married, because he's saying this. He goes, we'll just do that after we get married. So let me explain something to you.
Wrong answer.
Everything's going to change when the I do is done.
Over.
Yep.
And I'm not saying bad or good, but just the motives change.
Yeah.
I've already married you. So why deal with myself? You know, why even be concerned about it?
Yeah,
right. I got you now, you know. And so he or she, you know, loses their motivation. But if they want to marry you, they're motivated on the other side of not married to you. And you've given away. It's like saying, hey, I want you to run a race, but here's a first place ribbon. And somebody says, I got the ribbon already. Why should I go through the pain and agony of running this race, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, of course, he looks at me like so many have done and says, dear Brother Greg, don't you understand? We're different than everybody else.
Mm.
I'm a worship leader. I am a leader in the church. Mm. I understand God. She even dances. When I sing, she dances around the place worshiping God. You know, and I'm like, dude, listen to me.
Yeah.
You know? And it was for her sake as well. I mean, both of them.
Right.
Because you got to go, this is my goal was I want you, when I say, do you take this man or woman to be your husband or wife? I just wanted you to know who it is. And don't just say I do too. Yeah, I want you to know who you're saying I do too. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then if you said I do to what you knew who that I do was, I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
They are now your ministry. Enjoy your life. You know, and so here I end up, and so he didn't take the wisdom. But like Solomon, he learned the wisdom, you know,
mm-hmm.
And so 48 hours after being married, he's calling me up. I'm out 3 o'clock in the morning prophesying with yard signs and setting these things, thousands of signs up, trying to find it's hard to find a good man. I told all the women in the communities, you know, at the time, I said, because I was trying to find mentors, you know, to take these boys for a weekend.
48 hours.
Which is equivalent to 13 and a half years of the average father's life.
Right.
I'm like programmed with that. And so,
I know it.
Because an average father spends what?
35
seconds a day of undivided attention with their children. And that was then. I'll tell them what it is now. He texted me. And
yeah,
so,
it was before smartphone.
Yeah, it was before smartphone. Mm-hmm. And so I'm prophesying with these signs, and I have this phone on my shoulder, and I'm talking to him, and one early morning, putting up 1,000 signs, can't we do this tomorrow? You know? And of course it's early morning hours, and he's going, listen. And I said, yes. He said, she's following me around.
Humorous moments.
I said, you know, she's your wife. He says, you know, because, you know, if you've been single for a while, you just don't realize how selfish you are until you start living your life with people. When you start to be the church and quit just going to it, I mean, the narcissism and idolatry in the American church has become, our hearts become revealed, because you start finding out that's my stuff and my things and my time is like, no, it's God's.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's, you know, and it belongs to God. And anyway, so, you know, he said, you know, he's used to being, you know, into himself and isolated and that type of thing. And so he'd go to the next room and she would follow him into the room. Ladies, if you're listening right now, when a man walks away, you know, they're like rubber bands. You let them go. The further you let them go and get their thoughts together and their mind together, the further you will let them go, the quicker they'll come back. It's like a rubber band. You stretch it out. If you stretch it really far, it'll come back. But if every time they're trying to get a little stretch in the rubber band and you're letting the slack up, they're shutting down. You know, they're like, need some time to think. What I'm thinking now is not good. But the interesting thing is this. You know, this is what he's saying. And this is a leader. This is a leader in the church, traditional expression of church. He's asking questions like, "Well, am I really married?" I'm like,
"Oh my God!"
I'm like,
"Are you serious?"
I'm thinking, "Hold on a minute! Don't do anything rash. You've been married 48 hours. Anything that you were gonna do has already been done in this 48 hours. You know, you're married.
That's right.
And so, hold on a minute. And it boiled down to this: that." He was a fatherless boy that became a man. His father abandoned him. He didn't know how to be a man. I mean, society says, be a man. And they tell you, this is how you do it. It's like, that's not how you teach a man to be a man. And then you're going to ridicule me and shame me for not being what was never taught to me. You know, and so we're prophesying. So here I am. I mean, it just speaks volumes that I'm talking to the pain of a fatherless son, which is now in his late 30s or his mid 30s, whose father had abandoned him. And he's trying to figure out how to do this thing called what? Normal. And he doesn't feel normal. And at the same time, we're crying out for the next generations of sons. So I had an older son on one ear. And I had a prophetic sign in the other ear. Why had a religious church telling me this is not really that important? Isn't that crazy?
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
But the Lord said that unless this happens, I'm going to smite the earth with a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we looking at? The whole earth is quaking and shaking right now.
Right.
I mean, the Lord showed up in my office. He showed up in his, I was in my office preparing for a gathering that I was going to speak at. And, it was almost 10 years to the day that God called me when I was in Israel to do what I was doing. It was 10 years to the day, because I remember talking to you, John, and looking back on some documents or something at the time, and goes, it's been 10 years to the month at least. And he showed up. His presence was in my office, and I just like, bam, I just stood at attention, you know, like, oh my goodness, you know, just charged environment. And it was like the Lord speaks to me and says, you know, the prophecy's finished. They didn't turn. Now I'm commissioning you for the next season. It was powerful. It was a powerful transition that took place.
Yeah.
And which was sad, too. But right after that is when Haiti began to shake and quake, which is like 50% of the population there is 19 years old or younger. I mean, it is a fatherless people, and it began at Haiti. It began in Haiti, and they're running through the people who, so many people who denied God, and they're Christians in Haiti, but, you know, all the voodoo and all the corruption and their pact, their historical pact that was made with the adversary years ago. They're running through the streets as it's shaking, and they're crying out to God. They said, we deserve this. Oh, dear God, have mercy. They're screaming, running down the streets. You know, it's like, but, you know, we can respond to God by just doing what's right. We don't have to wait for the earth to quake and shake. But look, ever since that day, ever since that encounter, after that 10 years, nonstop, driven to drive that word home, that prophetic word home. And it was so loud that the governor of the state began to change his speeches, and he ended it with Malachi. It was so loud that all the way from America, it made it to Indore, India, where Pradeep Kumar, with World Vision, began to desire us to come to different countries and different cities in India. And it was amazing. But the thing was, is that if we don't respond to God, it just becomes an event.
Right.
Somebody says, well, this is just an event. It's only an event because we didn't do what the campaign was for. We didn't turn our hearts to God and turn our hearts to our children. It was just powerful. Everything was there. And the interesting thing was that, that I was talking to, just because he's older didn't mean he's not that same boy that was sitting there crying in this tunnel of tears being affirmed by a man in the city. And now there's so many lies now that's sown, and so much accusation that's sown, that anybody's scared to be nice to anybody. And it's crazy, because if you don't, passion denied perverts, if you don't give them the attention, they're going to demand it.
Yeah.
That's why today I think, man, those men were so awesome for 10 years to come out there with those boys, with all society. And it's just the weirdest thing. You won't believe, I'll share it in just a moment, when we come back. But they have Planned Parenthood has an event called Clergy for Choice. Clergy for Choice.
What?
And they have 40 days of prayer. 40 days of prayer for clergy of choice. And they're praying the opposite. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. Why? Because the enemy is against the children. The enemy wants to kill our children. He wants our children to feel unloved. He wants us to not give our children what they need from a parent and from, society. And he wants to divide everybody and make everybody like sand instead of like concrete. And I just want to encourage you today that if you are that person that, you're 40, you're 50, you're 30, but inside you're still 8 because you got stuck and nobody taught you how to be 9. No man taught you how to be 9. And no one taught you how to be 16. And, outside they're saying, hey, take care of these bills and do this job. And they're blaming you for stuff that you're just surprised you're even there,
Right.
And inside you're terrified. But realize, that was a strategy of the enemy to emasculate you and not give you what you need. You don't have to just divert and run into some other a wrong relationship trying to get that. God can give that to you. When the church wakes up and becomes, what we're supposed to become, the intimacy that you missed in your family, you come back, you get it. You can't force your people to be something they're not, but you're who is my mother, who is my brother, Jesus said. In the family of God, you can have mothers and fathers in the Lord. You can have brothers and sisters in the Lord that you can, it's going to be a little bit rough because, you're just not going to believe it. You may show up and kind of just watch what happens, but eventually you start realizing that there is such thing as genuine family. We've got to recapture this.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you'll start building your confidence, and then you'll actually, you like hearing somebody loves you, but you don't believe it. But after a while, you'll start believing it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And all of a sudden, one day, you just fully believe, hey, I'm loved. Because that's what the enemy wanted to do. The enemy wanted to take away the reality of God's love for you. And when you're loved, when you know who you are and you're rightly related, everything else is a no-brainer. It's just life's real easy at that point. But when you don't know that you're loved and you don't know who you are and you're still, untaught, life circumstances, men learn through observation and practical application and just watching things happen. And if they've never had any of those paradigms, or they watched television to learn how to do it, it's amazing. And so I'm going to share some things in the extra hour too, as well, that in Time Magazine were President Bill Clinton saying five ideas that are changing the world, and one of them is that women come into power, but it's like how much more power? It's like the men have disappeared. Where are the men?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can't we both exist together? Can't we coexist in our roles together? Does one role have to overtake the other role?
Mm-hmm.
And Satan has a strategy. Satan has a strategy, and it's the fathers, who speak the identity and the blessing and over their children, no matter what the devil tells you and what religion is thinking God has changed. Mm-hmm. And just be encouraged. That's what we're here in this conversation, to encourage you, to let you know, hey, I understood that the 30-something-year-old man that was on my shoulder as a phone, as I was holding the phone with my shoulder while I'm using my other hands to be able to put the sign, but I also understood the boys that they needed. And I understood, too, the people who were coming against me, because for them not to say what we were doing was important is to say that they're fatherless themselves.
Mm.
And they don't even understand the significant role of that, that even God himself said, unless this actually happens, I'm going to smite the earth with a curse. Mm. If you haven't had a chance yet, go look what happened since 2008. Look what's happened in the world since that day. Definitely. When God told me it's going to happen. We're probably looking at about 10 years of quaking and shaking. Mm. But it's not meant to destroy us. It's meant to get us to look up and turn our hearts back to the Father, and God's heart is turned to us. We'll be right back. Yeah, think about that. Promise keepers. When Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get people together, and two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America. Mm-hmm. Then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Steve, Vine Fellowship Network University.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve, I have had the chance to go to Bible school before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was good. You know, I learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Vine Fellowship Network University is about getting revelation.
Yeah.
It's about literally finding out about the pattern of God and God's revelation on his church.
Yeah.
You're going to be so impacted by the lessons learned. You're going to be so impacted by the prophetic words. You're going to be so impacted by fresh revelation that's going to take you to the next level. And it's not going to get you just about studying where the church has been, but it's all about telling the world where the church is going.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Be prepared. Be a part of the harvest. Get involved. Get in the game. Stop looking at what others are doing and saying, you know what? I want to be prepared for the end time harvest.
That's right.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org.
John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week, and I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin, and this girl, she just starts running up and down to different tables, and she's like, "Hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app?" And I'm like, "The what?" She's like, "You know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it." And I'm like, "Well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone." She's like, no, I use your phone to find my phone." And I was like, "Oh, they got an app for that?" She goes, "Yeah, they got an app for that." I was like, "Oh, okay." Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking and she started telling me about the app I needed to get, so I got that app and I go, "Well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get." And she's like, "Really?" I go, "Yeah, there's an app, VFNTV.com." And she's like, "Well, how do I get to that?" I said, "You can go right on Android, or you can go on iTunes and type in VFNTV.com." Start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that. And we start talking. She's like, "Wow, there's an app for that." I says, "Yep, check it out.
There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. My goodness, that's just memory lane as we're talking about some things that happened in the past, and you know, having an adult, you know, fatherless son on a phone, and yet reaching out for the next generation, And it was so cool. A lot of them, Derek was one of the boys that came on to, man, now he's a man. He's a man. And you can find him on the VFN Torch. You know, some of his segments are in highlights of him of sharing. But he's a father now and got kids and all that amazing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's got the same smile and all.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
He was, matter of fact, he was preaching. And another young man that was out there, he's a youth minister now. But then he was just a boy. But now he's a man, and he's a youth minister helping young people out and all. And there's all over the world. I remember when, you know, Amber was at IHOP Kansas City, the International House of Prayer, and she sat in a classroom. And she looked at the guy next door on a seat or whatever, and he starts talking to her, and she realizes that he was one of the participants for during the 10-year period of going to the next step, you know, Outbound Father and Son Camp Trust that we call them. And
amazing.
And it's just touched the world. And you know what? You know, if you're thinking about, you know, is what you're doing for the Lord significant? Nothing you do for God is in vain. Not one thing that you do for Him is in vain.
Right.
But realize the most effective things that you do, you know, for Him will be the most things that cause you to feel like it's insignificant, because, you know, society itself will make you feel that way. It'll make you feel like, you know, it's not good. And the truth is, it is good. It is good. And that's why the enemy's lying. He's a liar and he's a father of lies. So don't believe the lie. For example, when a kid says, hey, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear any kind of wisdom. What they're really saying is like, my life's falling apart and I don't want to humble myself, but I need everything that you're saying. Can you say in a way where it looks like I'm not actually having to listen to you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you got to read between the rebellion, right? You know, you think about this, that, you know, we want to talk about in just a minute about what's happening with the United Nations and Iran and all, but take a moment here. Dr. Dobson, he spent his entire life, you know, dedicated to studying the family. When you think about it, I mean, his ministry is called Focus on the Family. I mean, he studied marriage, he studied children, he studied John. And just joking. And I mean, if you're going to get any wisdom on how to raise children, it would be from Dr. James Dobson.
That's right.
You know, and you think, well, he's gonna, you know, I mean, raising kids. I mean, not just, you know, having tenants called kids in your home. I'm talking about raising kids.
Big difference.
It's a big difference. You know, when you raise corn, that means there is no corn. You plant the seed and you raise it. It comes out of the ground. It produces something. And it's productive. That's called raising corn, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's a big difference in raising children versus having tenants that you tolerate. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, because you love, you know, parents love their kids so much, you know. And I've heard some lies about society. You know, they say, you know, society's problem is because it's all because of parents. And it's like, well, really? How could it be that way? I know parents that have tried everything that they could try. You know, a single mother or a single father or double parents, everybody has an individual will. You know, and they blamed all society's problems on bad parenting. Which explained that person.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so, you know, you're seeking Dr. James Dobson. He's going to tell us how to raise teenagers, right?
Right.
And let's just go buy Dr. Dobson's book and get his DVD. He wrote a book called Bringing Up Boys. He talks about, he said he had this like 20-foot rope, you know, tied to a tree. This is probably something that you would have done.
Probably.
Yeah. And he tied it, and he's going to jump out of the tree, and he's going to swing it with this rope, this 20-foot rope. But the problem was the branch that he tied it to was only 10 foot away from the ground.
Oh my God.
There was a 10-foot differential there. And
obviously he wasn't melancholy. He didn't measure it for
him. He didn't measure at all, you know. I think boys, young boys, no matter their personality, that frontal lobe is very important. It needs to develop. You know, you think it, you know, anyway, so, And so here's Dr. Dobson. You know, you're gonna find out what Dr. Dobson has to say. I mean, this is gonna be the secret, because obviously I must be doing everything wrong, and so I'm gonna go talk to the man who studied them. And this is what Dr. Dobson said. I mean, this, all those years, John. Everybody, and this is what Dr. Dobson says. Right? He goes, the teenage years, just get through them.
Thank you.
Just get through them. I'm like, can you expound on that? Yeah, they really last longer than that sentence, you know. Just get through them. You know, think about this. You know, it doesn't say, the Bible does not tell us, you know, how old Satan was when he rebelled against God.
Hmm.
But I'm sure he was a teenager. Oh, my goodness. It's just real tough. You know, you're trying to find yourself as a teenager, and you're trying to get your own, but you're frustrated because you're still, you know, a suckling on your parents', you know, substance. But then you're saying, I am my own. It's hard to put your foot down when it lands in your parents'. Oh, it's a tough transition,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if you have a father who loves you, you know, your father, and this is why the father's been emasculated and pulled out, but a father's going to say, well, it's just time for you to grow, boy. He was like,
that's right.
You'll figure it out. Go plant yourself in some dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, because he knows that the kid's going to have to kick in.
That's right.
But there's so many things interfering with the way fathers raise their kids today that, you know, what they call safety nets are destroying our children.
Huge.
You know, it would have been better for them to wallow in the mud a little bit, you know, and feed the pigs a little bit, you know, and the consequences of their decisions a little bit, than to run down there and give them a stimulus package so they could live in some place that kept them stuck in the mud, you know, for 10 years of their life. Right?
Yeah. You introduce them to two new friends, Sam and So Knight. Here you go.
Sam's
Sam and So Knight.
You're right. He's like, I'm leaving. Yes, baby, you're leaving. Well, your bags are already at the door. You know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know, just helping somebody, that's what God does to us.
Sure.
And that's what God does to us. And it's like, but the devil has so many things into our nation's fabric. And I have a lot of theories about that, and I have a lot of word of knowledge about that, but aren't talking about that much. But the it's all demonic when it comes time to anything interfering the way the father would raise his daughters and his sons, because God has innately put something inside that father or mother, you know, to be able to impart into them, you know, something that society that doesn't understand how God's designed us, that everything has to die first before it can become something. Everything has to, I mean, even the egg inside of a woman, there is no doorway. It has to fight its way out. There is no, I mean, there's pain. A woman has pain in the process of bringing forth the child. Everything's, there's the brokenness of life and things that you just learn from that. But if you keep that away from somebody, they never learn. They just stay in this immature suckling state.
Yeah,
and the government just wants to be replace God. You know, one of the names for God is the breasty one.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, as you begin to cry out for God, provision comes from God, and the government wants to replace God and them to become the breasty one. Where,
right.
You know, if you need something, we'll provide for you. If you need medical, we'll provide for you. If you need provision, we'll provide for you. And all of a sudden, they don't cry out to God anymore.
Sure,
they cry out to government.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was okay to cry out to God.
Right.
You know, and that's how God's designed things. And you know, a child will never grow up despite them being 50 if they never learn to cry out to God. They never learn to turn to God and cry out. They're just stuck.
Right.
And they've never seen the provision. You talk a mother, a breastfeeding mother, that she could be across her house from a whole different room. And as soon as that baby begins to cry, that God's designed the mother's body that instantly she will fill up with milk, ready to feed that baby. Wow. I mean, it just happens.
Wow.
And so the baby gets frustrated sometimes and doesn't nurse. And so she gets frustrated and says, listen, I have provision for you. You're just going to have to line up.
Mm.
And that's how God is. Like, God's going, I'm the one that's giving you the air and the substance. You got to cry out to me, but you can't just get it any way you want it. This is how you receive substance from me.
Mm.
And the mother just gets more provision and more provision, where she starts hurting because so much milk is dropped because the baby's crying produces provision in the mother. And listen, if you're, that's how God is. One of his names, one of the defined names of God, if you look at the definition, it means the breasty one, the provision of God, the substance of God. But you got to line up to get it. You can't just say, throw it over here in my well of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to line up. If you're crying out to the right source, to God, you know, and going through the blood, which is Jesus' blood, and saying, listen, Lord, I need you. I mean, God's going to provide for you. But if you've provided for your kids every step of the way, now they're like 50, they've never got a chance to cry out to God and find out he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's such a strategy. You can see what the how the enemy's using the government to take over the role of fathers, to take the role of family, take the role of God in all these different areas, and saying, we'll take care of you.
And because of that different or even become a warped perception, those that begin to take their hands off and allow their young people, the children they've been raising, to grow up and become the men and women, it's time to play the man, it's time to play the woman, it's time to do now. That could almost seem as if that was wrong to those people's eyes. How could you let them suffer? How could you let us like suffer? Who in America suffers when you think about it?
Right.
You know, who in America really suffers? You have children that were working so hard so many years ago as young children. You know, even in my own family, my grandmother, I remember stories her telling as a child working on the farms. And it's like no one in America really can say that they truly suffer. We found out that we're in the richest percentile of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's through that suffering, it's through that going through, like you said, the pain, that we can actually learn.
Yeah.
But if we're looking back and looking for dependence upon a parent or anyone else but God, how are we going to make it?
And you look at you look at the people that's accomplished anything. If you listen to their life story, it consists of them going through pain. They were willing to go through the pain of the process to be able to arrive. I might have, you know, Tim Tebow's book sitting on my shelf, and to remember. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, Brett gave me a picture of Tim when he was praying for the Denver Broncos. Thank you, Brett. And sitting there to remind me and have his DVD that, I mean, he didn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's dragging tires, trees, pushing cars. I mean, he's aggressively going. I mean, he's got to be willing to tell himself no and tell himself yes at the right times and go through the process of all that. And we celebrate people who paid the price, but we complain when people are trying to encourage other people to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
How can you be trying to help me? You're having me drag a tire. Well, you said you wanted to be a Tim Tebow. You're going to have to drag a tire.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to deny yourself. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm going to have to deny myself. And it's the process.
Yeah. You know, they wrote a book called The Millionaire Next Door several years ago. And the whole idea was to study millionaires. And they wanted to find out, these marketers, these companies hired these marketers to find out, how does the average millionaire think in America? So they just took a person who had a net worth of about $1 million. And they realized some really interesting things that the average millionaire, the millionaire next door, was a person that actually worked very hard. Didn't make this Hollywood money or whatever, this gobs amount of money. They lived below their means. They lived in a house that was below what they could actually afford. They drove American cars that, you know, their credit cards weren't, you know, American Express Black, you know what I mean? But they were actually, you know, just Visas or whatever. They had JCPenney cards and stuff like that. And so they started interviewing them. What they found out was one study was just about first generation people that came to the United States. They became so successful. And what they found out is that here's this working mom or dad who started a business here. They're working hard at their job. They rose the ranks, and now they've accumulated all this wealth. And yet they instead encouraged their children to do the very same thing that they did. They started buying them cars and sending them to colleges and propping them with all this, you know, stuff. Thinking that's how they're going to, you know, do well. And what they did was, you know, bring a dependent, you know, next generation. And so next generation is totally dependent on the parents that came on over, and is thinking, you know what? That's not how it needs to be. You know,
and now the government's saying, listen, as a matter of fact, you know, all the way up to the age 25 now, you can be on your parents' insurance policy. And it's like, he's married and he's got three kids and he's a soldier in Afghanistan. Why does he need to be, you know, right. that type of thing? It's like,
serious.
You're not grown up by 25. Come on.
Dude, it's half of 50.
Yeah, it's half of 50. And you look at our generations past, I mean, you know, that's half life.
Exactly.
You know, right. And it's like, it's a strategy. It's a strategy for nobody to ever grow up, mm-hmm. nobody ever to cry out to God, and everybody to be kind of stuck in God not being the provider, but someone else being the provider for what's
Yeah, the scriptures say that the laborer's appetite works for him. It drives him on. It's nothing like being hungry and needing to work. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of that, I am hungry this morning. I don't know what it is.
Well, don't forget you found what you lost before. Don't just keep it going. Keep it going. You're doing good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm reminding
that.
You, you know, you're reminding me.
Well, you know, I did. I had my shake this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, I kind of.
I love it.
That's coffee.
Oh.
He mixes chocolate and coffee.
I can't tell the difference.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I went to a darker cocoa. I had, you know, this one cocoa. It's like a big. I remember my grandmother years ago, you know, she was cooking and she had this cocoa, you know, and as a kid you're thinking, you know, Nestle's mix or whatever you make chocolate milk with or something. Mm-hmm. There was a day you actually had to take the powder out of a can and put it in your milk and stir it. Now you just buy it already made up. Isn't that amazing? Right. Yeah. Anyway, so she had this cocoa and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, and she's making a cake or something. And I'm looking over there and she's only like 4 foot something. But I'm like, man, that was like 4 foot of meanness because she said she's sweet as wow. she can be. She's sweet. But she was a welder, by the way, in the ship during the war.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she helped build ships because the men were over fighting wars. So she was a welder during that time. Wow. And she, you know, she's small. And, you know, I mean, I've done this myself as an adult. But anyway, I said, oh, that looks so good. And so she gets a big tablespoon. It was probably a teaspoon. You probably got fit. It's a tablespoon, teaspoon, a spoon, whole heaping spoonful of cocoa, and puts it in my mouth. And I'm thinking, this is gonna be
great.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm like, oh, this is dirt. Actually, my grandfather chewed snuff. I'm like, this is like snuff. This is terrible. I'm like gagging and throwing.
Yeah, you're coughing up.
You're coughing all this stuff up, and it's like, yes, exactly. And then she just looked at me, just kind of smiled, you know. I didn't realize at that time, that was evil.
Yeah, right.
And then she said, don't use wire hangers. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She was sweet as she can be. Sweet as she can be. And I've limped ever since then. No, I actually did it to... I mean, Amber and Jared is just so funny. I mean, they're daredevils, you know, in regards to that. And
they're daredevils.
They'll do stuff like, you know, I'll say like, hey, you know, I'll give you, if you take some of that mustard, a teaspoon of that mustard at one of these Chinese restaurants, you know, what's it called?
Wasabi sauce.
Wasabi. Ooh. You know, I'll give you $5. You gotta have some sort of
that's
enjoyment,
evil,
you know.
Man, that stuff's wicked.
Yeah. Wasabi is evil. That's like a drug, dude.
But you gotta,
I got tricked to taking that.
Yeah, my kids are tough. They're tough. They love that stuff. Ooh. And so they
that's even hot for me.
Is it really?
Oh, that stuff's wicked.
And like, that says it all right there.
Well, maybe it was yellow mustard or something. Golden mustard or something. I don't know what it was. So anyway, they took it and I told them I'm kind of
did
broke.
They make it?
Well, I told them I'd just pay them over time. No, that's worth it for a father. For a father, watch your kid go through.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They enjoyed it. They always loved it. I remember I took Amber. Actually, Jordan was there. Did the same thing. We went to a particular restaurant. And they're serving octopus, like octopi. These are little things that didn't grow up. These are like little baby octopus.
Oh, nasty.
And you know, I was like, oh my goodness. And so Amber, you know, put one on her plate, and I'm thinking she's not going to eat that. And of course, she bites the head off the octopus. And it was like a tire, though. She's like, arr, arr, arr. And I thought, well, she just couldn't chew it good. But then when I saw Jordan do it, she did the very same thing.
She was on that thing for about an hour.
That is amazing. Yes, you chewed it. She did, Ronnie. It got bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh, my goodness. Wonderful. It's, you know,
tough pills over there.
Some enjoyment as parents. Some enjoyment. And I think that's something that Isaiah would enjoy doing. He'd love watching stuff like that happen. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he would. He would.
Elijah, just study it.
Let me see how that thing's going to work. Well, you know, we wanted to talk about United Nations. You know, the president's speaking right this moment, right, at the United Nations?
Yeah. Right outside of Jersey. But there, he's meeting right now and speaking at the United Nations. And, you know, the whole world is watching. They're saying that this is kind of going to be one of the most observed United Nations meeting in a long time. You know, these happen every year, and they don't have much, you know, really that comes out of it, these meetings, according to what they're saying. But now you have so much that's happening across the world. And then you have...
That's a UN meeting that you heard. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Right. The Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Who?
Mahmoud you know.
Oh, McDonald's had a...
The president of Iran.
Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad. I can't think. You messed my brain up. I can't think. You did practice.
Ahmadinejad.
The president of Iran. That's what I call him.
Ahmadinejad.
Yep, that's what we're going to call him. President of Iran. That's a good idea.
Okay.
But he's speaking.
It's more like.
Go ahead. Yes. Like, yeah. He said, Mahouk. I said, that doesn't sound like Mahouk when I look at this. But this guy, listen. He's speaking. He spoke earlier. He's scheduled to have the General Assembly speech tomorrow, which is on Yom Kippur, you know, the Day of Atonement, which is, you know, a slap in the face, really.
Right. Well, that's Israel. But that, you know, everybody might not understand that, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a day that Israel celebrates, right, a Day of Atonement, and they have President Benjamin Netanyahu speaking Thursday, but he's speaking and he tells a group, he spoke earlier and he's telling them that Israel is a fake regime that will be eliminated. And I want you to listen to this report. This is him speaking. And just hear what he has to say.
With a preview, when he said Israel is a fake regime that will be, quote, eliminated.
We have witnessed that some members of the Security Council with veto right have chosen silence with regard to the nuclear warheads of a fake regime, while at the same time impede scientific progress of other nations.
The White House firing back.
Fake regime. He's speaking to 120 leaders, and it's like, are you kidding me? You're going to come to this, to the United States, you know, not nations, not United States, but you're going to come to this country, you're going to speak.
Again.
You know, again, supposedly this is his last time because he doesn't have term limits. This is the last time coming to United Nations, last time speaking. Supposedly.
They have term limits?
I was shocked when I was shocked myself. So the Ayatollah, you know, revokes that tomorrow.
No doubt.
It's just, I mean, you couldn't write this stuff up.
Well, it makes you wonder who the next one's going to be, don't you, if it's term limit.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a traffic engineer.
Yeah.
He was a traffic engineer. He was.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, the president speaking today, last time he came to the United Nations, he had 13 one-on-one meetings. 13. And yet this time that he's speaking here in New York, the United Nations, he won't be having a single one. Yeah, he was scheduled to speak with the president of Egypt, Morsi, but he recently canceled that meeting. You know, because he wasn't going to speak with the president.
Yeah, he's on The View yesterday. They're going to play it today. They said at 11 o'clock. And it's get ready, folks. You know, brace yourself. This is it. But listen, you know, the kingdom is going to expand. We're going to cry out to God, and provision is going to come, and God's going to turn us around. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had a wonderful time. Don't forget, join us in the extra hour. We got to tell you the five things that President Bill Clinton is telling us that's changing the world. They're calling him the president of the world. And the United Nations is happening today. For those that can't join us, don't forget, you can hear on your applications, on your phones, iPads, and go to VFNTV.com. And those that are joining us, we'll see you on the other side. God bless.